Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This is a quick chat with Tom from Tailgunner about the Crash Dive EP that comes out on Fireflash Records on Friday the 9th of December. And we talk a little bit, would have been not a longer conversation, but I really had that planned for next year when they bring out their album. But it was good to catch up with them now as they release the EP and at the start of their journey to Tailgunner, as I spoke before, are a fantastic band that just do a superb understanding of what they are and what they do, and they do it really, really well. So it was great to catch up with Tom. And the plan is to do next year when the album comes out, do something a lot bigger for that. I think that's something, that's an album I'm so looking forward to for New Year. So this is me talking to Tom from Tailgunner. Ladies and gentlemen, it was about time we got Tailgunner on the show, because I've talked about him quite a bit on the show. So it's about time we got him on show, and it's a good time to speak to Tailgunner, and it's a good time to talk to Tom from Tailgunner. How are we doing, sir? You all right?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Thanks for having us on.
And before we even get into it, has there been a band, I don't think, recently, like yourselves, who have so quickly created such a really good buzz about them? Is yourselves? I really, honestly, it's... I've seen twice now to Zanzi and the Outpost, and already to get that early on, to get a buzz, is just a superb thing to see.
Yeah, it's been killer. Like, it's been so fast. Obviously, we started and went public in January. So for everything that's happened over the last kind of 10 months, it's taken us aback too, really. But I mean, we did so much work before we launched that it's really nice to see it pay off in the way that it has done.
Yeah, I think it's really noticeable that it's, I think the best way I could put it is the whole band is, it's very considered. You've really thought about the people who are in the band, why they're there, the longer term thing, what you want to be, what you want to sound like. It's been very considered, and rather than just like, we'll see what happens, it seems that there's an enormous amount of thought and care gone into that sort of whole setup too. Just walk us through the beginning of the band, when it started and kind of how that kind of came about.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it's like you say, with everything being very considered, it's funny because it is and it isn't. Like, I've always wanted to do this, and it's always been the same idea and the same thing. It's just, it took a long time to actually get it together and to make it happen. For me, this whole thing started, it was autumn 2018. I'd left my last band and I'd started to think about the future and what I wanted to do. And I'd played in a couple of bands up until that point. And it was, for me, it's like, if I'm going to do this again, then it has to just be the thing that I've always wanted to do. And to really just go for it, because otherwise there was no point. And so I started to look for band members, say, probably October, November 2018. And then it all came about in different ways, really. The first person that I found was Craig, our singer. And that was through Instagram. There was a photo of Midnight Prophecy, for those who don't know, last band. And I thought, oh, that guy looks cool. Like, I'll check him out. And I thought, okay, that's the singer. And he had a link to a YouTube page of covers. And I listened to his one of 22 Acacia Avenue by Iron Maiden. And as soon as the high bit kicked in, I was like, well, fuck, that's the singer right there. And I called someone and I said, I found a singer. And they said, oh, it says here he's in another band. And I was like, yeah, but he
I is. Don't care.
Yeah, exactly. So I started chatting to Craig, and I had to bother him for about a year, basically, to get him on board. But I traveled, like, at the time I was living in Portsmouth. So I traveled up to Liverpool to go and see them play. And I think that's when he realized that, like, I was really serious. And then with Zach, one of our guitarists, he had a friend that saw that I was looking to put a band together, and he contacted me because Zach's last band were looking for a bass player. So we got in touch, and he was like, oh, would you be interested in joining my band? And I was like, no, but would you be interested in joining my band? Okay, yeah, shit, maybe. So that was how the first demo came about. Like, it was, I'd written this song, Guns for Hire.
Yeah.
And yeah, sent it to Zach and Craig. And then initially it was just because neither of them were 100% on board, and neither of them were free. They still had other projects ongoing. It was, do you mind playing on this tune? And at least I can show that to people to say,
yeah,
this is
like a placeholder. Yeah, yeah.
And then with Pat, I kind of known him just through social media and stuff for a little while. And then I was at a place called Lost Boys Pizza in here in London, in Camden. And there was this fucking massive tall dude with long blonde hair and a big LA patch on the back of his jacket. And I thought, he looked cool. When he turned around, it was
bingo.
So we went to this like heavy metal club night. And we got talking, and, you know, same thing I said to the other guys, like, I'm putting this band together, like, you've got to be in it, you'd be fucking sick. And he was like, I'm busy, dude, like, I have my own thing going on. So I was like, okay, but keep in touch. And then it was probably 6 months later, like, towards the end of 2019, Pat called me and said, I just quit my band. Like, are you still looking? And I was like, fuck yeah, you're in. So I'd seen him play, I knew what he looked like, so, yeah. And then I turned around to Zach and said, I've already got one guitarist on board. Like, what are you up to? And he's like, well, actually, like, our drummer left. And
yeah.
So I said, well, if you join this band, we'll have three members. You'll be in the same way. So Zach came on board. And then I went back to Craig and I was like, look, if you join, we just need a fucking drummer. And he's like, okay. And then Sam came like... That was the end of 2019, and Sam didn't come in until August 2020, because basically what had happened is Midnight Prophecy had this tour coming up in 2020, and Craig called me one day and he said, like, we've split up with our bass player, would you fill in on the tour? So I said, yeah, sure. Like, you know, they were letting him do Tail Gunner, so I thought, okay, it's only right that I go and help him out. And then the guitarist Danny left. And I said to Craig, well, what about Zach? Why does, you know, we could bring him. And so me and Zach rehearsed with them. And then that's when I met Sam for the first time. So actually, I got to Liverpool with Zach in the evening. Sam didn't get out of work until about 4 a.m. So he was just walking around Liverpool, like, fucking, like, doing whatever. Waiting for Sam, pissing rain. And we went back to his, drank a Guinness, and then we were in the rehearsal room of, like, 3 hours later or something. So... But that was my first experience of meeting Sam. And for being a bass player, like, as guys in the rhythm section, when you play with someone as a bass player, if you play with a drummer and vice versa, sometimes you just know, like, it just clicks. And there was things where we were acting in the same parts of the songs that might not have actually happened on the record, and little pieces. And I could see, like, him looking over at me, and I was like, yeah, like, okay, like, we both just had this connection. And then I thought, fuck, he'd be perfect, but I didn't want to share two members with another band, especially if myself and Zach were also filling in, because then it gets a little bit like the same band with different tunes. But when they broke up in the summer, me and Sam spent like 4 hours on the phone together, and I laid everything out to him, made sure, did all the background checks, so to speak. And he came on board. So yeah, that was the band already in together by August 2020. And then we spent the next kind of year and a half getting everything ready. And as I say, we launched in January.
Yeah. It's like, I remember seeing, it's the first time I saw Craig was with Midnight. And I remember thinking, fucking hell, you know, and I told him so. I was like, you know, what a fucking... a real voice, like, and he's probably listening. If he is, okay, you know, they're, but it's, yeah, what a real voice. And Sammy's just a fucking force of nature. But I think that people don't realize the importance of a rhythm section communicating. You can have a fucking great bassist and a great drummer, and it still doesn't come together. It still doesn't feel that way. It's a real personal connection that you just sometimes you have or you don't have. So it's when you get that and you have those like looks when you know that you're kind of behind the beat or ahead of the beat and you kind of know where you are. It's really special. That's very unique. And it's you just can't write it. And when, like you said, when you get hold of it, it's incredibly important to keep hold of that. Like, you know, and I love the story that you kind of, you recruit these people and you kind of just, it wasn't just, oh, we all went to college together or we all went to, I love the fact that there's an element of Mission Impossible, getting the right people in for. I love that element of it. It means that you kind of almost, like you said, you had to pass the background test. You have to kind of earn your way into this. You have to really want to do this, and that's why I say considered, because it seems that everybody in it is, there's no one here making up the numbers. Everybody here is. Was there an element of you kind of as well, almost being a little jaded, and some of the artists being a little jaded with previous experience and going, you know, this didn't go so well, and this didn't work out for us. So it was more a case of we're going to do this, like you say, we're going to full on do this. It has to be, you know, learn all the lessons that have gone before and apply them now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I took like a year out of playing in bands. I mean, out of necessity, basically, whilst I was put together. But in that time, I went and just learned everything I possibly could about the industry so that we had something going in when we launched and everything to make sure that we weren't just sort of like aiming in the dark, basically. And yeah, like all of us have played in bands before. So there is that experience there and knowing, you know, to an extent what not to do.
So when was the first time you kind of the full version as we know it now, Tail Gunner? What was the first gig with the lineup that we know now?
The first gig. So you saw us at the Outpost, right?
Outpost, yeah.
So the first gig was 2 days before that in Nottingham.
Right.
So it was in March. Like we live all around England. Yeah. The first or little tour that we did was basically all of our hometowns. The first one we played in Nottingham at a place called The Cell, and then Reading the next day, and then up to Liverpool where you caught us the first time.
Was it immediate? Did you feel it straight away? You were like, you know, this is the right, this is all right, all the pieces have connected.
We recorded the album like over a year before the first live show. So we're like, I knew in that sense way before. But when we played that first show, I think it wasn't so much nerves, but it was very surreal because the band conceptually had been around like 2.5 years. We'd been together a year and a half. And so to actually play live was like, it was almost the thing of like, oh yeah, forgot like this is what bands do. You know what I mean? And on stage, it was a lot of fun, and it was this great sort of relief to finally play live with this band. But it wasn't until Pat filmed it. He's got an old 80s like camcorder, and he put it on the sound desk, and we filmed that first show. And then we watched some of it back later on that night, and I think that's when we were all like, "Oh fuck, okay." Like that,
because the thing that everybody, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't checked out Tail Gunner, naturally I'll be putting a whole bunch of links, and I have done previously to their work, but it's the whole thing. It's the music, it is the look, it is the vibe, it is the whole thing. It is not like sometimes you will go to see a band and they sound differently than they look, or it is half-assedly done and it's not the full thing. You are, you know, that show in the Outpost in the Zanzi was treated like a huge arena show. It was treated with like, you know, the same respect for the thing there, which I think really, I think that's what wins people over. When you see someone fully lean into that music and the style that you're playing and fully lean into that, that's something that's pretty fucking cool, you know, because you have to, don't you? You have to, if you're going to do this, you have to fully lean into it, surely, yeah?
Especially with heavy metal.
Yeah.
You know, then like, and I think that's the thing. It comes so naturally to us, all of that stuff, because we love what we do so much and we love this music so much. And, you know, when we play on stage and, as you say, treating it like an arena show, it's not from an ego thing of our own band or our own music. It's such a love for everything that came before us and heavy metal as a whole, that we just want to stand up there and give people that come to see us the same show that we would want to see.
Yeah. And please take this the way it's intended. I remember the first time I heard you guys, I started laughing. And that's no disrespect. It was because there was literally riff after riff. And I was like, why haven't I heard this done before? And previously, with this kind of like 80s sort of, you know, 86, 87 type of metal, previously it was done as almost parody. People would almost use this as parody. You know, we talk about the likes of Steel Panther and things like this, which was almost like there was a respect for the music, but it was almost parody. And that kind of pissed me off. I was like, I get it. You know, every sort of genre could have it, from black metal onwards, has some form of parody to it. I get it. But I was pissed off because no one was kind of doing it and really meant it. And so with the bands that you looked at before you started this, where you were like, you know, we want elements of obviously the old school, the new wave of British heavy metal and, you know, Priest and things and that type of things. But there were the bands that, was anybody around you doing anything like that, what you were doing?
I think For us, it's maybe less a case of like specifically heavy metal, but any band or any artist that knows what they are and does it 100% with no fucking compromises or apologies is an inspiration. You know, people that don't care if they're going to piss people off or if there's people that don't like them. As long as the people that they want to be into their music are fucking behind them, that's all that matters. A huge one was Airborne. I got into heavy metal and rock and roll as a kid the same time that their debut album came out. And so they're a band that I've grown up with in that sense. And they're just, you know, they don't apologize to anyone. They are what they are, love them or hate them. And that's a massively important thing for us.
Yeah, because all too often people will form bands because they think, well, this style is popular. So they will go, okay, well, we'll chase that. Then this is particularly popular. This movement's popular. And the reason those bands don't last very long is because their heart isn't in it and their soul isn't in it. And so it's like, that's why it's so nice to see everything, what you're doing for the artwork and the presentation. It's clear that you love the art form. And that helps when you start to get bigger, as you guys will, and start getting stuff like, you know, larger labels approaching and stuff. And you're already, you know, kind of signed to, you know, with a Warner sort of music publishing and what have you. But as you get bigger and more people want to take a bite out of what you're doing, knowing who you are and being comfortable with that and understanding it and being confident with it will cut a lot of ice, will get you a lot quicker to where you go. Because all too often, we've seen it before, where bands change almost their style as they kind of get discovered. Either they, you know, dilute it or they go wildly over to other areas that just don't work. And so I've often talked to young bands about knowing what you are before you get into it. And that's the biggest thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to Tale Gunner, that you will get is that it's very clear sense of purpose and clear sense of who they are. So, I mean, it's a perfect time now to bring in talking about the EP. So the EP is coming out essentially for Christmas. It's essentially a Christmas EP, but I'm all right to think it's a collection. So it's Guns for Hire, Revolution Scream, Shadows of War, and Crash Dive. Is that right? That's the track list, is it? I got all right.
That was the track listing when we did the independent release in the summer.
Right.
On the record deal, and they're reissuing the EP. It also includes White Death, which
White Death too. Yeah,
it didn't feel right to put this out again and not have everything that we've done so far on it, because that's essentially what it is. It's a compilation of the first year as a band.
Yeah, and it's a pretty good, you know, it's a pretty good balance of everything that you've done as well. It's a pretty good introduction. I would suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that the EP may be the very first place that you check out this and listen to that as a whole. So then, when we talk about, we've got to kind of hint to it, it's going to be like next year, the album. And I'm really looking forward to it, because it feels like this is when it's going to be a case of, you'll take everything that you've done, you'll take all the stuff that you've done live and all the times you practice together, and now we're going to get the real album, if you will, the real example of what's going on within the band. So how near and how far are we away from that?
So we have the release date set for the album. Not to give away just yet, but it's going to be next summer.
Sure.
So in the middle of next summer is where we're looking at the moment.
And is it a radical departure? Are you moving to is it going to be more of the same? Are we going to open up to conceptualize stuff here? Are we going to do a Seventh Son of a Seventh Son? Which way are we going to go with this?
There's an epic on there, because it was very important.
There's that 40-minute,
so but no, it's what people expect, you know. I think the best bands for me, bands like AC/DC, Motorhead, you know, they give people what they want. They just, you know, and the way to say, sell it and say, well, why is it any different to what we've already got? It's different for us because it's our debut album anyway, but it's because it's new songs and it's better stuff. Yeah.
That comes up a lot when it gets leveled at like the likes of Motorhead and AC/DC, where they're like, it's the same album each time. And it's like, it is, because it's the same, essentially the same group of musicians making it. But I would level this to you that, like, you know, The Razor's Edge, the song The Razor's Edge, is not like a standard AC/DC song. You know what I mean? Night of the Long Knives is not a standard AC/DC song at all, you know? And most of that are the same. It's like, I got excited when those albums were coming out because it was coming from a place I knew and I enjoyed, and they were just going to play more songs. Brilliant. More songs. And yes, like one of the things that gets leveled, especially your acts that are doing music from like the previous age or whatever, gets leveled that they can't be creative and new and interesting. It's bollocks. It's just, it just doesn't work like that, does it?
That's the most ridiculous thing. Like, when people say, you know, how can you, as you say, how can you innovate in heavy metal? And it's like, well, because no one's written these songs before.
Yeah, it's just, it's madness to me, you know, but that's one of the things that, you know, good quality outs that just kind of does that to the sides. Look, if it's a good album, it is a good album. The end, you know what I mean? Yeah. You classify it how you want, it is the end. What was interesting is, The Olaf Winstrad from Enforcer is producing, which is a genius move, and reading up on it. So you meet him after the show in Birmingham, right?
That's right. Yeah, going back to 2019, I went to Enforcer play, and I got chatting to him. I knew that he engineered stuff, so yeah, I was speaking to him, and it was only like 2 years later, actually, after we recorded the record, because we produced it ourselves, but we sent him everything that we did to engineer. And for me, it's like Olaf does the Enforcer stuff, which sounds incredible. They're on Nuclear Blast. Nuclear Blast are known for having great production anyway. So if they're happy with what he does, it's killer. Yeah. And it's just in terms of a guy that knows his heavy metal, I knew that I could give him any reference point that sprang to mind to the most obscure degree, and he'll go, "Yeah, cool. I know exactly what you're talking about."
The sounds, yeah. There's no way he's not gonna be a tough taskmaster, which is what you want. And there's no way he's gonna let anything go by. You know, he's got the magic ears. You know, he's gonna make sure that sounds amazing. So, even more excited for that album. So, in terms of the end of this year and the sort of beginning of next year, in terms of shows, what's the plan?
So basically, for now, we put this EP out next month, and then we come back again. So we're not wasting any time going into next year. The first show is in Nottingham, January the 7th. I think it's the first Saturday of the year. And basically, we're going to play shows around putting out this EP, because although we released it independently and the tunes were already out, and we did that in the summer, now that it's via the label and the different kind of press and stuff that we're getting, there's a lot of people that are going to hear about us for the first time, which we're aware of. It's why we don't want to rush straight into the album immediately after, because there's a lot that we can build off the back of this EP.
Yeah.
So we're warming up in Nottingham. I've always liked starting a new year with these kind of like intimate free entry shows anyway. I think it's a lot of fun. It's the perfect way to do it and to play some new songs and new ideas and things. And then from there, we headline Icebreaker Festival down in Portsmouth, which I'm really, really looking forward to. It's our first festival headline as well, which is killer. And then we're going around the festivals and getting on everything that we can in the UK next year. We're going to be at Call of the Wild, of course, on the main stage there, which is a killer one for us. And some cool stuff up in Scotland as well, which we haven't announced yet, which I'm really looking forward to. So we're putting together all of these festival dates for next year, and then we'll drop the album in the summer. And then we've got a UK tour booked, which is going to be in October next year. That'll be announced early next year. And we're in talks for a European tour as well.
I was going to say, surely Europe beckons, you know, you know, if ever there was a you know, an area that welcomes, you know, that style, is absolutely you know, that. And then the festival circuit there, which is obviously massive, you know, you know, you could tour for the rest of your lives just off this EP from that there, you know. We'll have to get, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to get Tom on again. I'll get Sammy and Craig on as well. We'll do a longer one for the album. The EP is, I'm looking forward to it, even though I've kind of heard it. I'm looking forward to it because I think it's a glorious vindication of this new movement of the old new wave of British heavy metal, if I don't want to get caught up with too many sort of descriptive lines. But it's exciting, and it's, for a long time, I'd been waiting for a band to do almost what Tail Gunner are doing, so it's special that they are. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to get them back on the show because there's not enough time to cover as much stuff. We'll certainly delve deep into the album when that comes out next year, and we'll probably see them live, and I'll do some stuff live, I think, when we catch them. It's been the fabulous Tom from Tail Gunner. Thanks for much for coming on the show, boss.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thanks for having me. Good to chat to you.
You're welcome.
Great to talk to Tom there from Tail Gunner. Superb band, just super. Anybody who's seen them live will know what I mean, and anybody seen what they do on a social media front has seen how just a great understanding of themselves and how they want to put themselves across, and that came across, I think, in that short, all too brief conversation with Tom. Like I say, the plan is to do something much longer and larger for the album launch next year, but now. It's a great introduction, if you haven't heard this band before, is to check out the Crash Dive EP. It comes out on the 9th of December, this Friday, if you're listening now. And that's a really great in to listen to that band. And it really kind of whets your appetite for the much larger and will undoubtedly grander, as we talked about on the show then. But that was great talking to Thomas Houston there from Tail Gunner. As always, if you want to be featured on the show or you want me to talk through an album or do a track by track or anything like that, please feel free to get in touch and we can figure that out. We've got a couple of them coming that I'm really excited for, and I'm so excited for all this new music that's coming in the new year. As always, thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the show.